Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. There's a story of a drill officer who was putting his men through some exercises, and he barked out, "Lie on your backs, raise your legs, now move them like riding a bicycle." However, there was one recruit who held his legs motionless, and the drill officer yelled, "What's your problem, soldier?" And the recruit responded, "I'm coasting, sir." You might think the young recruit is just trying to get by. I don't think that would work. And it leads to an important question. What is it that God would have me do? You see, we can feel like we're just coasting through life, spiritually speaking. That is until God intervenes. And when he does, a strange fulfillment takes place. There is a sense of joy. There is a sense of purpose. There is a sense of overwhelming connectedness to the one who created you. Jesus was bringing this message of fulfillment to the countryside. He was traveling with his disciples, teaching them along the way. Some places that he would come into welcomed him with open arms. They received his works. They accepted him and the truth that he shared about the Father. That craving question inside their hearts was burning for an answer, and they found it in Jesus. However, some cities and towns rejected his teaching. Their hearts were hardened and absorbed in self-gratification. They had the same questions in life, but continued to search for the answers somewhere else. At the healing service we had this past Wednesday, we read about the two demon-possessed men in the graveyard, and the townspeople came and asked Jesus to leave quietly. So we come to our gospel reading today. And as Jesus traveled with his disciples, there was others who followed along. These were the groupies, so to speak, and I mean that in a nice way. They couldn't get enough of his teaching. They craved more and more of what he had to offer. The more they listened and learned, the stronger they became in their own faith. Jesus knows that his physical time with them is coming to an end. So he gathers the people together and pairs them up two by two. Ministering in pairs is always better. They will need support and encourage one another. Traveling in pairs is also safer, especially in those days. Now remember, these are not the 12. He's done this before with them. These are the followers. And Jesus is expanding his effort to those who would be listening and learning along the way. He knows the word must get out to those areas that he's going into. But notice that he doesn't just send them. There's an important dynamic taking place here. We read, "And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord for the harvest, to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." First, he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest. The harvest is all those lost souls that they will be coming in contact with on their journey. The harvest is the people who were asking all the questions of life that we all ask. So Jesus said, first, pray. We should know by now that prayer is a lifeline to the Father. Prayer is not just taking our concerns before God. Prayer is also how we get direction and guidance from him. If you were to go out on a business trip and you usually have a plan, you have direction of where you're going, what you will be doing, you have a purpose, and that's all worked out with management. You wouldn't just walk out of the office and go on a trip without any kind of idea of where you are going or management's approval. But sometimes we think we can do that with God. Jesus has already given some direction. Don't take anything else with you. No extras, just go. No money, nothing to sleep on, no extra sandals. You will be provided for. So there's a faith issue here. You have to trust me. Don't even greet people along the road. And when you go, tell them the Messiah is coming. Rebuke the enemy and he will flee. Now this might stir up some emotions in people. Some might be thinking, wait a minute, I just came to hear a teaching. I didn't know I was going to be asked to do something. Others might be thinking, wow, this is great. We actually get to do something. I'm going to do what you ask because I know I'm under your authority. And that's exactly what Jesus is giving these individuals, the spiritual authority to carry out the task that he has for them. Jesus knows that some will accept them and take them in. They'll be ready when the time comes. And when Jesus does come, they will receive the message that they have already been prepared for. He also knows that some will reject them. Some will have a hardened heart. God will not interfere with the free will of any individual to choose. If they reject you, they reject me. And if they reject me, they reject the Father, he said. You can't separate Jesus from the Father. For those who reject you, Jesus says, to shake the dust off your feet and go on to the next place. You see, we can't force anyone to believe. The love of Christ is a gift, not a demand. And as I've said many times, it begins in the heart. But Jesus does have a stern warning for those who reject this group. It will be better for cities who never heard the truth, like Sodom, than for those who hear the word of God and reject it. So these individuals go out under the authority that Jesus has given them. And look what happens. They return and they are overjoyed. They tell Jesus that even the demons submitted to us. Wow, what an experience. And Jesus replied with a prophetic vision, implying that the power of evil over people is now being broken. You see, the reward is not the fact that Jesus has given his authority to these individuals. The reward is not that evil flees from Jesus. The reward is not the ministry that we do, as nice as those things are. The greatest reward, the greatest joy, is that those who receive it, and you will be with God forever. Your name is written in heaven. What was accomplished here is that you and others whose lives you touch can enter into the kingdom of God and into his presence. We're told that Jesus was filled with joy with the Holy Spirit. What a feeling he must have had to know that what he set out to do is accomplished and being accomplished. And this is only a foretaste of what was to come. Because in a short period of time, the Holy Spirit will be released into the world, and believers everywhere will have the same power and the same authority that is given by the Father through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And that is the message for us. You see, we can receive a lot of good teaching. We can read the latest book on the power of the Holy Spirit and how God works miracles, and how people have been healed. And in some places, people have actually been raised from the dead. We can read how God directs us and makes us whole. We can even go back and pick up the latest book on evangelism. And we can read how God is moving in spiritually barren places like China and Russia and other places where the gospel is being suppressed for so long. We can read about the revivals in Africa and South America where thousands are coming to Christ even through tribulation and through the work of evangelism. We attend the latest, greatest course and we walk away and say, wasn't that a wonderful course? Look what they are doing. And we leave that course behind and pick up another book on healing. And we read about the power of God, a healing of various diseases, and marvel at how wonderful God is. And we read a testimony after testimony of wonderful healings. Crooked limbs made straight. Doctors saying, I can't explain what happened. It wasn't by me. And we get all excited about what God is doing. And we turn on the car radio and there is a wonderful teacher delivering a great message. And you get home and you're pumped up and you were just so inspired by that teaching. And today, millions of people are in church listening to God's word and listening to sermons, hopefully on the truth of the gospel. Those are all great things. Not one of them is bad. We need to read. We need to listen in sound-to-sound teaching. We need to come to church and fellowship and worship together. Now I am asking you, do you believe what you have read and are listening to? Your neighbor is sick. He is in the hospital. God has anointed you with the Holy Spirit and says, I want you to pray for him. Ask God to heal him. You know that person that you've been playing golf with for so many years, their heart is broken. They have they've been searching for an answer for years. You know, because you've been listening to the stories of how empty they feel. They've been through bottle after bottle looking for an answer. The Holy Spirit nudges you to pray for that sick person. The Holy Spirit nudges you to share the gospel with that person who is searching for an answer. What's your reply? Wait a minute. I just came to listen. Or just wanted to hear, not do. Or is it, wow, I get to do this. Yes, Lord, because you said so, I will do this. The other day, I heard a testimony of a local young lady who Debbie and I know, and she has a ministry that she goes where she and another person, with another person, working in pairs, going to brothels around the area. Now, yes, there are brothels in Bradenton and Sarasota, and they share the gospel with the girls trapped in the sex trade. The other day, she and another woman were going to some brothels, no particular one, and while praying, the Holy Spirit directed them to a particular brothel, one that they did not intend to visit. So they went, and they knocked on the door of a young woman and asked if they could pray with her. As it turned out, this young woman had just thought that God was trying to talk to her and telling her that she was worth more than this. She wanted to leave the sex trade and go back home, but she felt trapped and didn't know how to get out of the situation that she was in. And then the knock on the door came with these two ladies bringing the gospel to her. This past Tuesday, she was on a train going back to her family. Folks, our experiencing Christ doesn't stop with the latest book, as good as it might be. Nor does it stop with just listening to a great teacher on the radio or TV or at church. You are ambassadors of Christ. God has brought you to the place that you are in your life and to this parish for a reason. Yes, we need to learn. Yes, we need to listen. But we also need to do. God has and is pouring out his Spirit on all who would receive him, that we might truly be the ambassadors that we were called to be. Our mission statement on the front of our bulletin reads, we are a community in Christ. That means we are Christ-centered. He is our source of life. It also says we are loving and reaching out to all. That means God desires for his word to be heard by all, even in places we might be uncomfortable. It does not mean that we are accepting of sin, but we recognize that sin separates us from God, and there is a better way through the love of Jesus. We also say proclaiming the good news. The good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ, proclaiming what Christ has done for us and wants to do through us. That is why we do what we do. In our communion, at the end of the prayer, we say, send us out to do the works you have called us to do. And we do it in his name. Is the journey sometimes bumpy along the way? You bet it is. Does the journey bring opposition at times? Yes, it does. But the rewards and the ultimate price that was paid by Jesus Christ far outweigh the bumps and the opposition. God will use you. He will bless and keep you. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through you. He will not let you down. Excuse me, he will not let you down. Remember, you can do this. We can do this. Like those who return to Jesus, you will be rejoicing in what he will do as you seek his guidance. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving Spirit that you have given us to encourage us, to work through us as you call us into action, Lord God. So I ask, Lord God, as we step out of this place today, and as we go about the business that you have for us this week, no matter where it is, in our jobs, in our retirement, in our schools, wherever it is, Lord God, that you would use us. Help us to be your mouthpiece. Help us to speak when we need to speak and to do when we need to do. So, Father, I ask the anointing of your Spirit on each person here as we gather together to worship and to praise you and to give you thanks. May we remember that it doesn't stop here. We go on out there into the mission field. So, Father, we thank you and we give you praise for all of that. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.